right? So the real dark side of the superhero is living so much in your strengths and in the ego part of you that believes in your strengths that you don't grow. Lots of leaders do it, by the way.
Hi, and welcome to the Leadership Now series with Nick Vujicic and Christine Grimm, Aria Consulting, 23 years of executive coaching, and I'm humbled that she is my coach. I could not lead without the sound coaching from Christine. I'm so glad, Chris, that we get to coach everyone watching. Tell us what we're going to be experiencing here on this series.
Yeah, we're going to coach you around leadership, around real challenges, how to navigate the challenges that you have right now, and how to feel good about it.
I'm so excited, Chris. You're going to be sharing with us also your pool of CEOs that can bring in and chime in some principles from their experience as well. Thank you for joining us here on the Leadership Now series. Here's today's episode. Hi, and welcome back to the Leadership Now series with Nick and Chris, where we get to talk about coaching and leadership in life, in many aspects, in business. And I am so thankful for my own coach, Christine Grimm, who's really helped me become the leader that I am today. And we're actually going to do something different on this second episode. If you did not see the first one, it was an introductory kind of session where we talked about what is coaching, how does it work, and what Chris has done to add so much focus and perspective and self-awareness. As CEO is running a million miles an hour, I'm one to be known as the one that runs so fast to leave my legs behind. If you didn't see the first episode, check it out. But this one's going to be a little different, actually. The title of this one is called The Dark Side of the Superhero. And before we get into that, just to set your expectations, we're actually going to do publicly for you to watch a coaching session that's going to be hosted by Chris coaching me. On this, it's very real, a side of Nick that I've never really done in front of camera before. And I'm excited because I know that when it's real and it's raw, it means that we could be very well altering your trajectory, your perspective, and adding value to you as a leader in your world. So thank you for joining us, Christine. Love you. Thank you so much for doing this. This is going to be fun, and I'm a little nervous.
I think you should be nervous.
Be kind. Be kind.
I'm always kind to you.
No, you are. You are. It's kind of like this love-hate relationship where I love you, and I always will love you. I just hate the stuff you tell me sometimes that later on I'm like, oh, she was right. So love you. Can I just get a fist bump in COVID?
I'm sorry.
Use the hand sanitizer today. I'm good. Love you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited to do this. I'm honored that you're doing this. Wow. I feel like this is a privilege, and I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about this because you are amazing. The reason I call it the dark side of the superhero is who stands up in front of like 100,000 people and tells their life story, you know, and then sits with me on camera and does real coaching, right? Who does that? Like, only superheroes can do that. So
who coaches this little guy with no arms and legs who's got these very small companies and organizations compared to all the people that you've got phone calls weekly with? This is humbling, and the coolest thing is that we have seen the value of this to help people's lives. And so I want to say thank you for the honor. And this is fun. So here we go. I'm ready.
Okay, let's get in.
Where's the seatbelt?
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about process first, Mr. Seatbelt. And that is, this is what's called a deep dive. You're used to them happening in private, of course. Yeah. The concept of deep dive, though, I think it's important for people so they get what the takeaway is for anybody who might be listening or watching. So a deep dive in executive coaching means we are going to take a specific thing. We're going to identify very clearly what's working and what's not working about that thing, and then decide kind of what paths we want to go down. We might get through one today. We might have a few paths that we go on that are related to that thing. And so this is real. The coaching is very real. I want everybody to know that. And we didn't rehearse it, and it's not scripted.
No, it's not. And let me just tell you, when I first heard from Chris that well, we're going to find out what's working, what's not working. It's like, why even bother with what's working? Just, this is the problem. And she's like, nah, not really. I love it.
You have a lot in common with other leaders, more than you realize. And by the way, I think more than other people realize, right? Like, you're not just a celebrity and someone who stands in front of the stage. I get the privilege, probably, and the only other person who might know this is like your wife, maybe a few family members, that you actually run organizations day to day that have real decisions and real issues. And at the moment, we have a lot of disruption going on in the world, and you're dealing with that like any other leader. But I want to talk in particular about this idea of the dark side of the superhero, and I want to define that a little bit, because it is not uncommon for me to, that's when I say to you that you're not unlike a lot of other people I coach. I coach a lot of people, men and women, who really are in their own right superheroes, right? Doing extraordinary things. Sometimes you take it for granted. And I would just like to frame that for you, because when I say the dark side of the superhero, oftentimes it's not what people think. So I'm not saying that you turn into the Joker at night. What I mean is that all the things that make you a superhero oftentimes are what we call strengths. And then when they're overused, because that's what my superheroes tend to do, they become a weakness, right? So, and they're not always like an obvious bad thing. So people sometimes look at me and go, wait a minute, wait, what do you mean? And I'm like, yeah, what makes you awesome can also make you not so awesome, right? They get in our way. And you know, I have the privilege of, you know, working with you a lot. And I think that it's fantastic that you want to share. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about the strengths that you have that have made you amazing and make you continually amazing, but also tend to get in the way. Like, you try to do too much all the time, like many leaders, right?
What?
Yeah. So let's talk about that one first, because I think that is a path that we should maybe go on. And when I was saying in a deep dive, we have to be clear about what we're talking about, but also what works about that, right? And what doesn't always work about that. So let's just talk about that thing together. How do you think about it? Like, you have always tried to do too much, right? You are the guy who does a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me more about that.
Look, you know, I'm it's just, I have to say that when I was a kid, and my teenage years for sure, that the wiring of my brain, like everyone understands, that it's quite challenging and humbling for people to look at a guy on stage with no arms, no legs, with a great smile, who seems as though he's been able to reprogram his brain, and when he sees an obstacle, he doesn't flinch. Mm-hmm. In fact, when he sees three barriers of entry, it doesn't mean that he gives up and that he continues to feel like, well, that's just, I'm accustomed to obstacles and not knowing what I could achieve until I tried them. And maybe this is a complex that I have to say for the first time, that, because I've never told you this, even though you probably have assumed it, that it's understanding that sometimes I even get a fire in my belly to even do it even more so when someone says you can't. I mean, when my mom said, don't go to America as a teenager, by this time I'm already 19 years old thinking I'm going to America, and those years of talking, and I've realized that I can do more than most people think, and I don't want to be defined or limited. And maybe that's a subconscious thing that I'm now seeing now today with this discussion and the discussion that we had off camera with this question of, why are you still doing so much? I'm like, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm hustling. I'm doing whatever I can to do to keep everyone on the boat and continue to pivot what that, you know, whatever that is. But I have that side of me to tell my mom. It's like, well, mom, she's like, well, you're going to lose all your money if you go to America. And I'm like, well, I won't.
Yeah.
She says, well, how are you going to prove it?
Yeah.
You know what I said as a teenager? I'll get a $300,000 loan from a friend at 10% per annum, interest only, to come out to America on loaned money. You know, it's like, who would say that? And I do deny that I feel like I'm a person that has to prove something to myself or the world. I do deny that in a sense. I'm thankful for everything I've had. I don't have anything else to deny but or prove. But no one can deny what's happened. And I don't feel like I have anything to prove. But the mentality and the pace and just feeling like I need to do something. Or else I failed. We're trying to do something that we want to make sure we never come close to the feeling that I just defeated. Like, I feel defeated. I told my wife I feel defeated.
Yeah.
And it's like just everything stopped. And I know I can't do anything, but wait a second. Isn't it good to get short-term goals and then do everything you can to get through this? And so that's the conversation that, you know, it's interesting to have for sure. Like, how much is too much? And is it that what I have done that has been working? What if that's not a part of the equation moving forward? Then what does that look like? Because I can tell you one thing for certain. I know I was doing too much. I know I was running too hard. And knowing that I wanted to slow down, I've got four kids. I don't want to travel as much. My caregiver today, he said, do you miss traveling? And I laughed. I said, absolutely not. Like, the travel bug's out after 2,500 planes. And being with my kids, it's so weird because when I'm home, I'm home. I'm really good at that. Turn off my phone with my kids. But now I'm home and they say, hey, let's play. I've got a 12-hour day at home. And I am trying to do everything I can to do it. And I don't know if that's the strength of the tenacity.
Oh, for sure it is.
You know, whether like emotions override too.
It's made you who you are. Yeah. So here's how I want you to think about this. And I say this to all leaders who are listening or anybody who is listening and resonates with this. Right. So we have our strengths. This is your strength. It is one of your many strengths, to be honest with you, right? Like, I see you are multidimensional. You are a complex human. I'm talking to everybody right now. We are not one single thing. Inside your superhero profile, you have a whole bunch of things. And one of them is that, one, you have a big, bold vision that tends to be supported by a whole bunch of activity. And I don't think that we ever are going to turn that off, nor do I want you to turn it off. What I do want you to do, and the reason we do an exercise like this, is for you to get awareness around what is the other side of that, right? What are the impacts of that? And for many leaders, as you and I have talked about many times over the last 6 years, oftentimes operate from our places of strength, but we don't see the impact and sometimes the negative impacts that it's having on the other people around us or what we're doing, process, etc., until it's too late, until we have a problem, right? And so my goal as a coach is always to create as much proactive, real-time awareness so that at least you are in charge. Right. A friend of mine wrote a book series and she's got some great Azrieli prison programs. But one of the things she calls it is being the boss of your brain, which is beautiful. Right. So it's you being in charge of you. That means you, superhero, knowing, OK, this is my strength. I have this incredible vision. I have the faucet turned on and out pours these amazing things. And with it now, every night, every day, I know you. I've seen your whiteboard, by the way. It always has like what seems like 1,000 things on it. But we also know that sometimes one of the things I've witnessed is that is really hard for your team to keep up with. So do I want you to stop? No. Do I want you to be aware of that? Yeah. And then over time, what it means to mature and develop as a leader is to actually note those things and not to forget about them next time we have a huge surge of whiteboarding, but to be able to hold yourself back, find right. balance, and think about, okay, what does that actually mean? If I want to grow my organization, do you remember the tent conversation mm-hmm. with you and your nonprofit team? Mm-hmm. Where I was like, yeah, no, I'm never going to tell you not to do all that stuff on the whiteboard. But isn't it better for us, you know, to make sure the team can handle it mm-hmm. while you're flying around having awesome ideas, right? And I think that there's probably other impacts that I don't even know about to your level of activity.
Yeah, I remember the first time of awareness of that is when you say to me, this is several years ago, do you realize what happens when you say XYZ?
Oh, right.
Do you remember? Do you know what ripple effect happens when mm-hmm. you state a mm-hmm. vision and how mm-hmm. it's heard and listened? And I'm doing much better than I was years ago. And I used to have a lot more distractions. And it's almost like I've gone from 100 down in my mm-hmm. thinking 5 to 10. And now the team and the coaching is now bringing me down to almost like, okay, what's the one or two things from each org, from the for-profit, mm-hmm. and one or two things from the non-profit?
Yes.
Because normal, whatever normal is, I always get people say, well, normal people, because yes. you ain't normal, they only do one thing well. And most entrepreneurs who succeed and exceed expectations, they did one thing and they did one thing really well. Mm. And it's just like, it's true.
It is true. Well, you know what? I don't know if that's true. I've lived a long time. I've coached a lot of people, as you know. So I think that you can't sometimes apply all those stories. Let's talk about you.
Right.
I think you... Right. You actually do a lot of things very well, and you put a lot of pressure on yourself to do those things well, which is why I call it the superhero complex and why you and I talk about that, and earlier you made reference to it. But I would say it to other people too. You know, they don't have to be standing on a stage in front of 100,000 people. You know, you have a very special gift that allows you to be public in your superhero-ness. I just made that up. Other people aren't so public about it, you know, but they have it. And I would say, again, you know, the purpose of this conversation is really just getting like a super level of awareness so that you can be more like Captain America and less like the Hulk, right? You know, and I know not everybody might understand a Marvel reference, but you know, the Hulk turns into the Hulk, especially in the early movies, and a lot of the kids might understand this, but I think hope adults too. And once he turns into the actual superhero guy, he's out of control. So his strengths are literally weaknesses at the same time, potentially, right? Mm-hmm. He can cause a lot of damage mm-hmm. with his strength and his ability. And to me, that's not what we want, right? Like, that's not who I want you to be. And so, you know, part of me being hard on you, whether it's in this moment or any other time, is I'm always kind of going, wait, stop, Nick. Like, let's make sure you're not that. I want you to be in control and fine-tuned and applying your strengths in a way where you know predictably what the impact is. And I would say, as your coach, you know, if you don't mind, I think another path that we could take in this is that I think that you have a superhero strength, honestly, at inspiring people in like any moment that you want. And I also think sometimes that because of that, you might miss what they need from you. Mm. Yeah. Because I think people are intimidated when they meet you and when they interact with you because you're so bigger than life.
I don't see that.
I know.
At all. Like, I was like...
I know you don't.
No. So, I mean, how does that practically now, in this time of my life, what are you seeing me reacting, maybe overreacting, mm-hmm. or checking in right now with me, mm-hmm. with you knowing what's going on and what I'm trying to do mm-hmm. to build the bridges with the unknowns being any unknown in the speaking industry, especially.
Yeah.
The motivational circuit. I mean, the contracts dried up in January.
Yeah, well, I think, again, I think that maybe you can tell me, you know, in I think that I've watched you, you said something really interesting to me a few times, including during the break today, around feeling lost and having moments where you were feeling lost. And I actually think it is the moments in time where my superheroes like you don't know how to apply your strengths and start feeling worried about failure and worried that, oh my gosh, like, wait a minute, I have these strengths and I have nowhere to use them. What do I do? Which is in part, you know, your ego, and everybody's has a little bit of that right now, by the way. Every phone call I have, everybody's kind of trying to get their traction back, right? Like trying to get their mojo back. Working from home for a lot of people has been disruptive, but also just the business landscape. Being in some weird pause that we don't know when it's coming back. And I would say for you, part of putting together everything we've talked about so far today is, you know, you learning a new way to connect to people. You know, learning a new way to take action on all those ideas that you have. And like I said, also beyond connecting to people like you usually do on a stage with 100,000 people, you know, tell a story, everybody cries. It's magic, right? It's amazing. But right now, you're trying something different. And I feel like that's part of the evolution of Nick, right? Is you're learning how to get beyond that surface level, the easy way for you to inspire people. I'm saying that, and there's part of me kind of going, really easy? And I'm thinking, yeah, it's easy. It is easy for you to stand, look at me pointing my thing, easy for you to stand up in front of 100,000 people and just tell your life story, and it changes people's life. And right now, because that's been taken away, I feel like you are having to find your new strengths in a whole bunch of places, right? How do I do that?
It's been a huge discovery process, you know, and everything that I'm able to do, I'm thankful to God for the calling and the gifting and the opportunities to go around the world. And everyone's been telling me, you know, slow down. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because every time I'm on a plane, I'm thinking of being at home. And here I am at home.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, my son the other day, he said, Daddy, tell me a joke. And I can't even tell my son a joke. Like it was a bad day. It was a hard day. I felt numb, trying to figure out, well, wait, what don't I know? And how long will this be an unknown? We can try some long-term things. We can try and fire this rocket, that rocket, that rocket. But in the end, it's almost like I don't stop till I know that day I've done everything that I can. And in a way, like that gives me peace to go to sleep. When I know that I've done everything I can for my family and my employees, but yet at the same time, that sneakiness comes up where I admit if the disruption and the pause didn't happen, I don't know when Nick Vujicic would have slowed down to become actually a father on the motivational. I mean, the nonprofit's great, and the rhythm and the team, and that's after 5 years building with you my thinking, our vision, the plan, the board timeout, 2015. What's the plan? And that in itself, I'm so pleased with where we're at as a nonprofit ministry, but everything outside of that, it's like, it feels like it's unraveled. It feels like it's a whole new world. And it's very scary.
Yeah.
But the realization of just because I was too comfortable to actually stop, you know, and really take on something that does become an evolution. I see this as a blessing, because I want to make sure that I'm not just going to be now that Nick slipping back into himself,
yeah.
that, Because I found that out even the last couple of days. I'm going to tell you something you don't know.
Oh, I can't wait.
You know, all we need is just a little bit of good news. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting that in the last couple of days, some silver lining happened in the clouds. And all of a sudden, it's like this whole, oh, good. Now I did, and I catch myself. I'm like, wait. Slow, slow. Mm-hmm. Remain humble. Don't go back in confidence and see that plan or this or that. Mm. It's just something I'm catching myself with, even as traction starts to, you know, the engine's coughing.
Yes. Look, that is exactly where we started here. And so I want to, what you just said is important for everybody, right? So the real dark side of the superhero is living so much in your strengths and in the ego part of you that believes in your strengths that you don't grow. And that's really easy to do. Lots of leaders do it, by the way. And, you know, there's an amazing executive coach named Marshall Goldsmith, who is really an icon in my industry, who wrote a book called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And the premise of that is exactly what we're talking about, right? Like, if you want to take it to the next level, if you want to take your business to the next level, and I'm not talking about just surviving or solving this crisis or coming out of this crisis okay. I'm talking about those moments in time where you go, I wish we could, or my vision is to save a billion souls, or whatever vision someone puts out there, the bolder it is, the more you have to accept then that sooner or later, if you don't pay attention to developing your strengths, minimizing the impact when those strengths become a weakness, right? Growing new muscle groups. Right. To me, you going fast all the time has enabled you, unfortunately, to not learn how to relax. Now, you're better now that you have a wife and four kids, and I've known you since it happened.
Yeah.
Imposed relaxation.
I
family
would not
fun.
Stop. I would not
you
stop.
You would not stop. Do you remember when I used to call you the Tasmanian devil?
Yeah.
Yeah, I meant it. before wife and kids. Of course not. You were a bachelor.
Nuts.
You were nuts. Yeah. You did amazing things, by the way. It was nuts, but you.
No regrets.
No, you should have no regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets.
There was.
But you can't
no
do it now.
Stop. Yeah, no.
But you can't do it now, and you can't run your organization the same way. And I actually believe that right now, specifically with the COVID-19 and all the things that are going with that. The virus itself is a thing, right? But the way it's impacted all of us because more people are working from home and because more leaders, regardless of whether their employees are working at home or not in whatever country they're in, what seems to have happened here is that everyone has to rethink, even if it's temporary, everything. And because of that, many people like you are feeling, many leaders I talk to, feeling that lost moment. If it wasn't for a week, some of them are still feeling it, right? Like, whoa, what do I do? I can't do what I was doing before. I can't take all my strengths and just muscle my way through this problem. Or if I try, chances are there's going to be downstream effects that aren't that great. And so I look at that and I go, okay, well, wake up everybody then. So maybe you need to say, I need more strengths. I need to work on some other muscle groups. And so to me, part of you learning to slow down started before you got married and had kids, right? That whole, I need to learn how to strategic plan moment that we've talked about before. And you've learned how to do that over time. You've learned how to say no to some things. You couldn't do that before.
No.
Right? Some of it you had to learn the hard way, right? Until the weaknesses took over. And I think that, you know, maybe what you can continue to teach people through this process, right, us bringing these things to light, is that even superheroes need to find new ways, new tools, new ideas, new ways of thinking.
Mm-hmm. And that's scary. For me, it's honestly, it's...
It is scary.
It really frightens me. Not just the level of the fact that I don't have any control over all of that, but look, if I'm a COO of a company, right? I'm not the CEO, the founder, the one that's responsible for all the employees as much as somebody in a different department, if you will. Where I'm an entrepreneur, well, there is, you know, there were times where we've had to bank our own selves. You know, there are times of entrepreneurs where their back's up against the wall, and every decision that they make not only affects the company and them and their mentality and their family, but other employees, and loyalty comes in. And it's a whole new of letting go that I feel responsible and called and convicted and should be in a healthy sense. But when is it for me? It's like, how long do we go for? What if speaking engagements don't open up in the next 6 months?
Yeah.
9 months?
Yeah.
12 months? What is that? Okay, this is this much. And then after that point, I have to just let it go and let it be. Like, that is a place of humility that hurts very much. Because in the back of your mind, you want them to be okay too. And you don't want to hurt anybody. I think the fear of disappointment is my biggest fear in the world, actually. The fear that I'm disappointing people.
Who?
Anybody. Anything. Because of that reputation as well. But loving, and I'm known to be somebody that'll do whatever we need to do to figure out whatever we need to figure out, especially in the business sense. I'm not worried about it. So I don't know. It's been difficult.
Well, I would say this to you. I'm saying it to myself and to everybody who's listening, right? You cannot believe everything you think.
Did you hear that? You can't believe everything you think. Because I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs who feel the same way.
Yeah, for sure. You know? And you create the story to rationalize your decisions, right? We all create a story so we can rationalize how we think the best way to handle a situation is. And that's not always right. You know, some of that thinking is flawed. And part of the reason why you need to take advantage of this kind of weird slowdown time, or what could be, by the way,
if you allow it.
Yeah, if you allow yourself to have moments, and I would say some of the most successful leaders in the world, I don't have to tell you who they are because most people can figure it out, because they talk about it, and now we have the internet with lots of content where you can listen to these people talk. You know, it's not uncommon for them to say how, you know, they really do have a discipline of spending time alone and planning and journaling and or just thinking through what's going on. And I would say to you, one of the number one things that I say to you and others is, first of all, stop and just think about what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I thinking right now? And why am I believing everything that I'm thinking right now? And some people say, oh my God, I'm going to be a crazy person if I do that. And I would say to you, if you did it 3 minutes a day, you will be a better leader. You'll be a better spouse. You will be a better parent. Because if we just take the train, right, our superhero train, where we actually drink our own Kool-Aid and believe every thought that we have, oftentimes that leads us down a path that, like I said, our strengths become our weaknesses. And before we know, now we're unwinding the problems because of either, you know, misinformed or misguided decision making, the lack of planning, right, the momentum of us, the belief in what we have. And I would say for you, you know, we've talked about this, you know, your visions are very strong and you have a lot of conviction. But finding a balance in that as you mature as a leader is super important for the people who work for you. And rethinking what you're doing. You know, I feel your fear around speaking not coming back. And I would just say to you that what is being born of this.
The podcast. The webinars.
Right. The rethinking your content, thinking about the next book deal, the thinking about what else should I be doing?
A thing called branding and marketing.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah, but this had to happen so that you didn't get on another 10 planes in the next 10 days.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have found myself in the last month being hijacked in my thoughts. and playing out scenarios and fears that will absolutely not happen. Now, people mm-hmm. don't know the other side of Nick, where there is a lot of behind the scenes tornadoes.
Yes.
Apart from operations and being in the spotlight and people saying this or doing that mm-hmm. and having crisis mm-hmm. that, you know, others won't ever find out.
Right. That's your strength overused, buddy.
There you go.
That's it.
And it's so good. And I have been told as well by one of my friends, like, you know, do you have any just alone time? And I have my spiritual time,
mm-hmm.
but not being reactive, mm-hmm. just, I don't know what the word is, but reflective.
Yes. Think about what you're thinking.
Think about what you're thinking. It's huge.
It really, really is.
It is. Because as you thinketh, so you are.
Yeah. And everything we think becomes a thing.
Right.
Whether we wanted to or not. If we think something enough, something's going to happen.
Love it.
Right?
So what's one key that, apart from time, is there anything else that you could tell someone who, how to hold captive of your thoughts? What's something that...
Well, I think it's broader than that. I think that it is, again, you know, taking time to slow down and think about what you're thinking. To not always take action immediately on everything that you're thinking. And I know my type A people who like to get stuff done tend to drive to action really fast. And there are times that's appropriate, and then there are times that it's not. So really knowing the difference is something to practice, right? That takes practice. Mm-hmm. I would say the other thing right now that is super important is, you know, to connect with other people in a deep way, so that you can get feedback and know the impact you're having on people right now. Mm. That's really important, right? Don't just live all in your own world with your own thoughts about things, right? Really hear right. the people around you, not just your coach, so that maybe you can adjust in real time. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you're awesome, Chris. I am so glad to just have this transparent, very raw moment with you, because it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get better and better at you. I know one day you're going to make me angry on camera one day. I reckon that's going to happen.
I was hoping it would be today.
I love it.
So people can see you.
So
we'll
good.
We'll work on it for
you
next time.
You work on it? I love it. Everyone, I just wanted to say thank you so much. Thank you, Chris, again.
Thank you.
From Aria Consulting, my coach, Chris, helping me, you witnessing, no joke, the points of the reality of life and how do we not just pivot, but pause, think about what we're thinking. And we hope that this has actually helped you in your process, decision-making process, you making sure that you put practice and discipline into some of these things to help you become the best leader that you can be for you, your family, and everyone around you. I'm so glad that you joined us. Join us next week. Actually, we've got amazing CEO Sean Lipman from Feedonomics. CEO, unbelievable.
Awesome.
I've heard many awesome things about Sean, and he'll be joining us.
Yeah, I get two superheroes at one time.
I love it. I love it. So we're going to do the next one with all three of us. So please make sure you don't miss it. Make sure that you comment below. Give us maybe some suggestions of what else you'd like us to unpackage. Comment, rate, review, share with someone who also got or will get something from this as well. Love you so much. Take care. And we'll see you next time on the Leadership Now series with Chris and Nick. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Help us reach as many people as possible by giving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to this podcast. Love you so much. And remember, share this with anyone you know who needs to hear this as well. I'll see you next week.